Crash Bandicoot. It's official. New Xbox spokesperson. Screw Master Chief. It's now Crash Bandicoot, baby. It's Tony Hawk. It's Spyro the Dragon. Activision Blizzard. It's finally been approved by the CMA. We knew it was happening all along.
Does Activision own those, or do they just publish those?
I believe they own them.
Oh.
What doesn't Activision own?
I don't know.
That's... Okay. Well, there you go.
Should we throw up some Call of Duty or something? Since get us in the Activision spirit.
Yeah, throw up some Warzone.
Yeah. Anyways, it's final, everybody. This episode is titled "Game Over, Sony." And some of you might, and you know, this is Sony's worst nightmare. Why? Why poke the bear? You may ask. Aren't you guys about positive gaming? Yes. But the whole reason this happened is because of Sony. They put up a big stink, even though in all the emails that came out throughout this, their initial reaction was, no big deal. In fact, did you see the email that came out this last week or the week before, where Jim Ryan in an exchange at PlayStation was like, that doesn't bother us. Xbox, they wasted their money here. They should have bought an electric car. They'd be better buy an electric car company to compete with us. Basically saying, no big deal. It doesn't matter. Then I think Sony realized what was happening with Game Pass. Oh, this is successful. Oh, no. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
We better get on top of this.
Actually, I've had many moments like that in my life.
Oh, whoops. We took this for granted. We mocked them when we should have feared them. And now here we are. Activision Blizzard, a part of the Xbox family. I mean, it's not official yet, but it basically is.
Why isn't it official? Like, because
I don't think it's official until the deal's not been finalized. It's just been given approval to be finalized.
Okay.
From the last of the lasts.
Yeah, that was a lot of wasted taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, on everyone's behalf. Yeah. From the UK to China, though.
Oh, did they?
Not China. China approved it right away.
Yeah, they were fine.
Yeah, they were fine. Not the communists. Communists were efficient.
I mean, it was kind of fun to watch.
Oh, it was fun. It was kind of fun. We learned.
It's always fun to watch the FTC get slapped around a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, actually, to be honest,
it's always fun to watch any government agency get slapped around a little bit. You know,
smacked around by a gaming company. what about this too? We learned that Phil Spencer was very eager and wanted to buy Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to ever happen.
I don't think that was like a thing. I think that was like him like lounging and being like, if I could buy Nintendo, I'd be the man.
Well, no, it was an email. It was email considerations. And in the email, he said...
Yeah, but was it an email with Nintendo?
No, internal email.
Yeah, I have internal text to you guys saying like, if I did this, guys, I'd be the man.
Well, this is different because this was like strategy sessions and like strategy emails. And he basically said they don't realize yet. We'll just wait for them to realize that all of their success depends on their hardware. And then we'll swoop in. Basically was what he alluded. That,
who, like, Nintendo? We'll
wait the long game. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But
could you imagine a world where Xbox got Nintendo? Here's the thing. I don't think that they would. The Nintendo brand is too strong. You would still have a Nintendo. Xbox would just own it.
Well, I don't think Nintendo would ever sell.
Never say never.
Yeah, but I really like.
No,
it was like, oh yeah, they'll buy Bethesda. That's a stretch. Oh man, they did it. Oh, that's a further stretch. They'll buy Activision. Oh man, they did it. I think Nintendo's an even further stretch.
Yeah, but we're one step away now. We were three steps away. Now we're one step.
I think the most likely scenario is like a partnership with something. But I don't think...
They kind of do have a decent partnership with each other. I never thought that they would.
I think they like each other. I mean, that's... Well, I mean, yeah, that's
not after these emails came out.
Yeah, that's an interesting discussion.
Well, did they... Were they like... I mean, were they insulting Nintendo?
Well,
they're like,
it's kind of insulting.
If you think about it, they're stupid. And when they figure that out, we'll come in and
when they figure out they're in trouble, we'll swoop in.
Yeah, but I don't think Nintendo is stupid.
No, I don't think so either.
I think the Switch is like everyone has a Switch.
Nintendo will figure out a way to keep going always and dominate and continue to dominate. You know, they create their own market, essentially. It's called the Blue Ocean Strategy, actually. The book.
Yeah, we talked about it a while ago. Well, it's just Nintendo's the only company
way to shut him down, Jordan. That was good. That was really good.
Nintendo.
He was about to tell you what that was, and then you just said, "Yeah, we've heard it a million times from you, buddy. Just shut up."
Yeah, we talked about it before.
Good call. Good call, Jordan.
Well, it's just like Nintendo is a fascinating company because they do a lot of stuff that's like not cool, but no one cares when it comes to them.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you mean no one cares?
Like
Bluetooth.
They're above the fray.
Yeah, like
Bluetooth and the Switch for years, and then they're like, yeah, we got it actually.
Yeah, whereas like if Xbox or PlayStation did that, the coverage would be like, what?
Well, and just like the way they resell their games, and you know they don't let you play old games unless you pay them to play old games. Like
they don't even let you stream, put on YouTube. They copyright the crap out of that stuff.
I hear they're getting better with that though.
Oh, okay. Well,
Even like remember PlayStation? You streamed like what was it? Was it PlayStation View? And you were able to stream like you had to pay to play your old games. Like, no one cares with Nintendo. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think it's... Their PR department's fantastic.
No, it's because they don't give a crap. It's all... We've talked about this before.
It's
all about attitude. If you complain to them and they're like, yeah, that's how we're doing it. And it's like, oh, okay.
A lot of people don't know this, but I believe it was Nintendo... is the reason we have $60 games.
Well, we now have $70 games.
Well, but it's not catching on. Like, 2K tried to set the trend? No. I mean, some people do it, some people don't. Everybody hates when people do it. But Nintendo did it way back when, in what, like 2000, was it like 4 or 5? I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was Nintendo. It was like, we're just going to start selling these for $60. And then everybody was like, oh, okay, yeah, let's do it.
$60 is not $70.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is with my brain. That thinks that it just pisses me off. $60 when it went up, I was like, oh well. That sucks, but oh well. $70 is like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's just big news. Think about what Game Pass is going to be able to do now. I think the sky's the limit now. I think we're about to see Game Pass just absolutely take off when that is. Imagine this Christmas season. It's kind of like the first season, maybe, possibly, when everything is under their umbrella. It's going to be huge.
I wonder if they'll ever bring like Warcraft to console.
Oh yeah, I think so. I think that's coming.
I actually think so.
Yeah, I think that's coming. I think that's going to be
because their whole brain is play anywhere on whatever device you want.
Yeah.
And that's not how Blizzard thinks.
Now, as if that wasn't enough, and I do think the title is a little bit facetious and tongue in cheek of this episode, everybody. So before everyone comes and yells in the comments about it. But I do think Xbox does not yet have a solution for it. I don't think that they're yet set up for a solution for this acquisition, the library that is going to be Game Pass now in totality. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do in response here.
Well, PlayStation still, I mean, they make great games every like 4 years, which is awesome.
Spider-Man
3 years, two and a half years.
Spider-Man 2 is coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. I will say Final Fantasy 16, I really, really like a lot.
That's a fun one.
Is that ever coming? It's like a year away, right, to the Xbox? Or?
Well, I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. We don't know. You know.
Might come to PC.
Wait, is it not on PC? I think it's on PC.
No, it's just on PlayStation. They have like a 6-month exclusivity with it, I think.
Which is smart.
All right, here we go. Let's hear it, David.
That's smart. No, but I do want to talk about, as if this wasn't big enough news now, this dropped at the end of the week. Earlier in the week, we had all the leaks about Xbox wanting to buy Nintendo. But on top of that, and this was the one where the FTC was like, wait, this wasn't us that leaked this, was word that, look, we are getting a mid-gen refresh here next year, next September, codenamed Brooklyn. It's an Xbox Series X. In fact, we should bring it up, the image,
it looks like a tall Echo Dot.
It's a tall echo, or it's just the echo. The echo.
That's actually a good description.
Oh, is it just the? Is the
yeah, full echo?
It's just an echo. Yeah. Echo Show.
So it's an Xbox Series X, all digital. It's going to be the same price. There is upgrades with the memory is the number one upgrade there. 2 terabytes. Which, yes, please give me that. Yeah. No disk drive, and upgrades to Wi-Fi. I think it looks better. Oh, USB-C on the front, right underneath the power button. I think it looks better. And this is one, it's like sleeker that I could put upstairs because my wife.
Hey, you can't lay it on its side, though. It'll just roll away.
Just you can roll if you're, away. If you're making pizza.
I guess like you could get like a mount for it.
It would just roll away.
It would just set it in there.
They're going to have they're going to have things to do that. There'll be a little attachment. And if they don't make it, somebody will put plans for a 3D print.
We'll 3D print it and just throw it out there.
Yeah.
How tall is that? We can't tell.
I don't think
we could extrapolate it from the Xbox logo actually.
Assuming that that's going to be the same size as the...
But they've been same size.
I would assume it's roughly the same size as the Series X because, I mean, I know they say innovative new design. That may be true, but it's just a circle now. Like, I mean...
Yeah.
But
you have the USB-C in the front. That's not in the front right now.
Yeah, but would you call that innovative?
I think it's innovative.
I think they just got a little wild with the...
No, what's innovative is finally 2 terabytes. Yes, please. Yeah. I will be getting this as an upgrade for sure.
I think that the term you're looking for is standard. I hope you know. USB port and 2 terabytes should have been
we
standard.
We shaved off the edges. There's no hard edges anymore.
I wonder if air flows through a circle better than it does a
square.
A cylinder.
I know you don't have a disk drive. You have more space on
honestly,
the inside.
Honestly, I actually think.
I think they could still do disk drive.
I think.
Remember those old Sony Walkmans that were circular?
Oh, those are cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have mine somewhere.
You know what I think? This is what I think is going to happen. I think not this next generation of consoles. So what are we on? Gen 9 right now of consoles?
Oh my gosh. Are
this
we?
This is Gen 9, yes.
So not Gen 10, but I think like Gen 11, both Sony, PlayStation, and maybe Nintendo. I mean, really, I think they're both going to go without disk drives. And then what they'll do is you can just sell it separate as a USB attachment.
Oh, the end of disk drives is now.
Yeah, because I think...
It was actually 6 years ago.
Fun fact, I've never used my Series X disk drive. Ever. Yeah.
I think there is a small community of people that still use discs.
Losers.
I mean, a lot of people buy them just for the collection factor.
It's a collection factor.
Yeah, I think it's a collection factor. But yeah, I think disc drives are slowly becoming a thing of the past.
Shout out to Adidas 20-0.
Yes, yeah. Just a collection factor. But what's funny is, wait, do you actually put the disc in to play it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, so I feel
Spicy,
like
Spicy handed us a PS5 Final Fantasy disc.
Oh, okay, you can get to play for
here. But real quick, we do have a super chat. Adidas 20-0. He says, "I hear people paying Bethesda will make money off Game Pass. Well, Microsoft gave Bethesda 7.5 billion reasons not to worry about money." Amen. Adidas 0. Thank you very much for the super chat. Psychotic is in chat and says, "Hey guys, I lost power, but not the ability to watch the podcast. Welcome, Psychotic."
Yeah.
You could just have a plug-in. Remember, you had the portable.
Yeah, wasn't there like a
for PCs? You could just get a separate one.
Didn't Xbox 360 actually have like an HD DVD Blu-ray, USB thing?
Yeah.
So I'm sure those are in a warehouse somewhere.
Yeah. Back when Blu-ray wasn't standard, it was like the big race to see who would make it.
Do you think Microsoft? Because Blu-ray, I remember. Because it was HD DVD versus Blu-ray. And remember, you had like the red section and the blue section.
Yeah.
I wonder, do you think Microsoft backed HD DVD because Blu-ray was Sony? Because Blu-ray, even back then, I think it was superior.
Yeah.
What was superior about it? I mean, it's the standard now, everything. So.
Well, actually, I think
it used a blue laser.
I don't think you're correct, Jordan.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was technically the HD was superior, but it didn't take off.
No, I think they...
Like, remember laser discs?
Wouldn't that make it inferior then?
I got to remember. I think It was just a storage. That's the thing that people forget, that it was just basically a storage device to hold data.
Yeah. Remember, Battlefield can do uncompressed audio. That was like a big deal.
Green
and
Ray.
So it really didn't matter which one worked. Like, they both worked because they were both storage devices.
Mm.
You know, it was, they were basically like a, I mean, hard drive.
Well, that's all a disk is.
Yeah, exactly. It just holds data. And it was, they were equal. And I actually don't know why. I did
Super,
at one point.
Super Shark says Jordan's right. Blu-ray held twice as much
it did,
as an HD disc.
It did later. It didn't initially.
I think it was, wasn't it like 20 gigs?
Because they did the
at first.
Yeah, it was.
Or no, maybe it was 50. I can't remember what the first iteration
they,
was.
They did the dual layer. And then they did the dual layer of the dual layer.
Why don't we just double that?
Yeah. But at the time, it was all theoretical. So it was like, yes, Blu-ray could have more, but no one's done it yet.
Yeah.
If I remember right. And
feels like you are. Feels like you're remembering correctly.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I mean, that was a different time. I was younger.
Spicy, would you upgrade?
And it was a blue laser, wasn't it? Isn't that? That's why it's Blu-ray.
Spicy, would you upgrade to this console next year? Next year, it'll drop next year in September. That was the, this was on the slide deck anyways. That was in the emails. That were
What kind of power? I don't care about the circular stuff. I don't care that it looks like a trash can. I don't care about any of the stuff. I care about power.
So you get two terabytes inside of memory.
Not a big deal to me. I have a hard drive. I transfer
reduced
stuff over.
PSU power by 15%.
I don't care about saving electricity.
New lower standby mode.
How much
does
my Xbox actually use anyway?
I care about saving electricity, but I don't care.
All new Southridge to modernize IO and sustainability resistance, blah, blah, Wi-Fi 6E radio for better throughput latency.
I don't use Wi-Fi. I'm a direct link.
And interference mitigation, BT5.2 radio for improved accessory experiences.
I don't care for, I mean, okay, that means what? My controller.
And then improved efficiency. So I think it's all the same. Better Wi-Fi
it's
features.
It's just a refresh of the, it's like the Xbox 360 to the Slim. Like, technically, there's better stuff in there, but it's the same.
It's marginal.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's worth it, though. 2 terabytes built in.
No, yeah, done. That is nice.
I'm there.
Yeah, but see, I don't. Is that worth
hey,
another $650?
I would like to see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
You could just buy a hard. Do you know what kind of size of hard drive you can have as a storage unit and how quickly it takes to transfer?
Yeah, but I want the latest box.
Super Shark in chat says, and it's a humidifier.
And it's a humidifier.
That would actually be awesome. If that you sold, might... they, yeah, that would actually be, I bet you, that would be innovative.
It's a humidifier because it's cool. It's cooling it.
They just
as well
put like this little,
time.
Like, you have to change your filter every month because it sucks all the air.
Okay.
I don't think this is like a, you know, when you have your halftime consoles come out?
Yeah.
Like the PlayStation Slim came out and the stuff, you know? The Jordan was always saying, my box is 11% more powerful than your guys'.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Series
S. We had to hear that for like 18 months of Jordan.
I'm sure this is like a couple percentage points better.
But they don't say it. All they say because is, this is like this the is packaging an, is now recycling.
Yeah,
like
this is just an internal, slide.
Which is kind of funny because most packaging comes in cardboard. Isn't cardboard designed to be recycled?
No. They're talking about the casing.
Oh. All right. That's a little bit, that makes more sense.
Well, I think what it'll do is just offer another price point entry because I think your Series X with the disk drive, ironically, goes down $50. And then you've got a price point. You've got the Series S, the white, then $50 more. You got the Series S black with more memory. Then you've got the Series X, and then you've got the Series X refresh, codenamed Brooklyn. So I don't know what
they're
going to
call
it.
So do you think the Series X is going to be a lower price?
The current Series X, I think yes.
Well, the price will shift down.
Yeah, yeah. And then this becomes the new one, even though it's only digital. I don't think that matters in pricing. I don't, because it'll be better, right? In quotations.
Yeah, but here's me, David.
Okay,
yes. The only thing I care about
memory
is teraflops.
I
want, I guess, and hard drive speeds, but we're at that point where I think they've maxed it pretty good.
You can teraflop my balls. I don't care. I'm sorry. It's been a long week.
No, I just care about, like, you know, I want.
What is that? What is. Oh, derelict.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Derelict my balls. Like,
why is it so familiar?
I derelict my own balls. Oh, man. So, David, you're asking if I would buy this? I see no need until I see an increase in power.
Mm, I like that memory.
Yeah, that is. I mean, that's the also, major improvement here.
Improved Wi-Fi upstairs in my living room. I think this looks sleeker. I need Wi-Fi up there. I'm not hardwired in. I'll use my other one hardwired in downstairs.
I've been out of the game for a while. Wi-Fi game, but that might be a little bit deceiving because I believe you need, like, for example. When Wi-Fi 6 came out, I remember everybody was like, yeah, I'm buying all these Wi-Fi 6 routers. And it's like, oh, okay, that's fantastic. But literally none of your devices have Wi-Fi 6, so you're not getting any benefit. I think I that's know. The same thing.
It's very frustrating for me.
You have to...
Some of my stuff is Wi-Fi 6.
Well, actually, you do have a router that has Wi-Fi 6.
Yeah. And some of it is and some of it isn't, and it's very annoying.
You know, to be honest...
Well, this is a good opportunity then to buy a whole bunch more crap.
Yeah, that's exactly why I'm buying it.
I don't know why, but the biggest thing to me is I want to know if it's codenamed after the city or a girl.
Brooklyn?
Yeah. Do you think it's Brooklyn, city or
I think
like,
Brooklyn means something like new or something. I can't remember.
It's not spelled
There's
the
like
same.
A meaning, yeah. It's because it's not spelled like Brooklyn.
But what if it's like Brooklyn from accounting, you know?
Brooklyn.
Wow.
Brooklyn.
That would be cool.
Brooklyn.
Like every year Microsoft has a raffle mailroom. And your name is the next code name for
that
the
would
next
be cool.
console.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Codename Scorpio.
Yeah.
Good old Scorpio from
before we get
Scorpio was one of the janitors, I think.
Before we get to the next piece of news, Super Shark dropped a super chat. He's been a member. Wingman Tier 1 status for 25 months. He says, I've been listening since the first X1 Bros Game of the Year's awards where All Destiny right. won. What we should go back and like recap our Game of the Year awards. See if we agree with those still.
As cool as the refresh is, there's other stuff that came out that was cool in the leak that I think I'm more excited
Yeah,
for.
The next piece of news is even more exciting. Let's
are
look
we,
up.
Are we done with this?
Yeah, let's look up Spicy. Codename Sybil. Xbox Sybil. Sebile.
See, another name.
She worked in marketing.
Yeah, that was Sybil from marketing.
Another woman's name, too.
How do you spell that?
Sebile. Sybil.
When you notice, these new products are very elegant.
Yeah, so we've been talking about, we have been talking, go down one, right there. We've been talking about, and Jordan and Spicy, you have both expressed your preference in this generation.
That yeah, I'll say it, the PlayStation controller is better.
The PlayStation controller is better.
You can get mad in the comments, and you can say Xbox doesn't need haptic feedback.
This looks like this is going to address that. Couple things that really stand out in this controller. Number one, look at the length of the arms, the paddles right there. No, really. Like that's much more similar to what the PlayStation 5
They look
controller
a little bit
is.
Skinnier, too.
It's longer, which the PlayStation 5 does feel better in your hands that way. The number two, haptic feedback in it? Yep, is. Number three, chargeable battery in it? Yep, is. Number four?
Yep.
Yep. Speaker built in? Yep, there is. Everything, basically they said, okay.
Does it have the triggers?
Haptic triggers, yep.
I'm trying to, I thought I read it. Where is it at?
In. Precision haptic feedback. Also, it's got a gyro and an accelerometer, so you can like move it as well, which the other controllers never had.
Does it have the triggers, though?
It does, yeah.
Because it says haptic feedback, but
they've confirmed that that's, well, okay. Journalists have confirmed that that's the triggers. The thing, yeah.
I don't know what place it
is. Is this part of the leaks?
This was part of the leaks, yeah.
Now, okay.
Give it to me.
Every new Xbox needs to come standard with this controller.
Yeah, it does. Because on the last one, it said with a new immersive controller. That would be this one.
Okay, good. Yeah, every new Xbox needs to come with a new standard controller.
So, by the way, if this is the color scheme, white and black, that's super cool. I think it looks cool.
Now, those are my favorite electronics colors.
My favorite cookie.
The white. Your favorite Oreo?
Favorite chocolate chip cookie.
You like the white and black chocolate chip cookie?
Yeah, look to the cookie.
There are white and black chocolate chip cookies?
Yeah.
There's a whole episode on Seinfeld about it.
Look to the cookie.
Yeah, look
I
to
don't
the cookie.
Remember that
about
episode.
Race relations, how the cookie, this the cookie. Cookie could solve race relations.
Yeah, look
and
to the cookie.
And Seinfeld's sitting there, and the black guy is also across the room,
and
they're
both
eating
raise their cookies.
The white and black chocolate chip cookie, and they both go,
Look to the cookie, Elaine.
If only people would look to the cookie.
I don't remember that episode.
That's a good episode. It's a good, yeah, it's funny.
Oh, man.
Jordan, impressions here. What do you like, just off the looks?
Nope. I mean, just look. They didn't really change the look of it. I mean, it looks like an Xbox controller.
They change, like, it's rounded off the top right there, pretty hard. Mm. It's a more boxy look.
Yeah,
it's elongated handles.
Until you get it in your hands, it's hard to tell. But this is nice.
Yeah.
One feature I'm actually like, I kind of like glanced over at first, ooh, but the lift to wake, I actually think
that's kind of like Pro Controller. That's what the Pro Controller has, the Nintendo Pro Controller.
No, it doesn't. You have to hit a button.
Okay, whatever. All I know is I don't have to turn on my freaking Joule. Does the DualSense have that lift to wake?
Well, no. No controller has it, to my knowledge.
Well, now the Xbox will.
No, I kind of glanced over that at first, but then I was like, you know what? That's actually kind of nice. That's like you had a really good dinner, and then you had like a nice dessert.
Yeah.
The lift awake is like a nice dessert.
Having to take one less.
It's not needed, but you like it.
Yes.
So, but no, if it is actually like you, it detects when you lift it up, and then it'll turn on, which when it turns on, it turns your console on. I actually think that's a nifty feature.
Also,
but what if you're cleaning? Which happens all the time in my office.
There's probably a setting where you turn it off. Well, then you.
But then it doesn't work.
No. But then you're like, you're clean, and you're like, oh shoot, I turned on my Xbox. Well, better play it.
I better stop what I'm doing and play this game, this awesome game that just popped up on my screen.
It's actually beneficial.
Why aren't you cleaning? I can't just
It turned on. I just can't. What am I supposed to do here?
No, the other thing is the rechargeable battery. That's just nice.
That's Beast in Chat says, I like the ability to swap between devices faster as well, which you can see there. Seamless pair and switch. You're able to pair multiple devices. You can pair it straight to the cloud even. Direct to cloud is what they're advertising.
Well, and the other thing, this is what I'm interested in. Repair and disassembly is one of their...
That's what they've been selling lately.
One of their, you know...
Yeah, where you can take it apart and...
And there's not a warranty sticker there?
No, yeah, that's what they've been. That's a big deal. We talked about it like a month ago.
Yeah, no, that's so I'm. That's nice.
Yeah, amen.
That they
give
make
me
it
those options. It's well, a smart
I,
move.
I wonder how like modular it is too. Like, can I just buy some new sticks off of Amazon, take the controller apart, put them in?
Here's the thing. What's the next Elite controller like then?
Better.
Honestly, why don't they just combine the two at some point?
And would you rather not have
like Elite take this controller, make an Elite version of it, and just stick it with every Xbox, and people can choose to use the paddles on the back if they want to, because they can come in and out, you know.
The thing is, this thing.
But how would they be able to charge $200 for a controller if you give all the good stuff to that cheap controller?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the question.
Well, that's my question. How now do they level up that Elite controller? Just add paddles to the back of it.
All
titanium.
It's all titanium. It's gold.
That's
gold
funny. That's the new Apple phone.
It keeps your
titanium.
Heat displacement because of the metal they use on your hands, so your hands never get sweaty.
I think that would not be good if you're eating Cheetos and you have titanium controllers.
What if they make a stainless steel controller?
If you're going to build a time machine, might as well do it in style.
Stainless steel.
You built a time machine into a DeLorean?
What do you think of the microphone included now?
Wait, oh, they're
so
actually
this is sort of like, hey, dummy, play the objective. It's like a microphone for chat.
To my understanding, the speakers is now has built-in microphone/speakers the same way the PlayStation has.
I will say the worst part about playing the PlayStation 4 was having those crappy Bluetooth headsets that you couldn't mute, and I would be playing Grand Theft Auto 5, and it was impossible to mute these kids that had the crappy mics on that. And if this is I don't see how a mic on a controller can be good.
Maybe did I misread that? I'm pretty sure that's somewhere. I could Google it.
You might want to Google it. I don't think it has a speaker.
There's a speaker. Yeah, let me see.
Okay. Well, that would be a good nope for me. I don't like that.
Well, what's
the point?
I don't really. Other when you like. I mean, sure, it's cool to hear the robots like, you know, in your controller, but it's really not.
It's a gimmick.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's needed. It's one of those things. Does it cost extra? No, throw it in there. You know.
Well, does it drain your battery faster?
And if the answer is no, I don't care. Yeah. If the answer is yes, yeah. I would.
An accelerometer, speakers, and a rechargeable replaceable battery.
So speakers is not a mic, which is.
So better. Speak. Yes, it's just the
speakers. Yeah, so
the
speakers, they'll like have the they'll have controller. A robot game, and when you go like this, they'll be like.
So does no other game use, because I don't have a PlayStation 5.
No, some games utilize it. I usually turn it off if you can.
Does any game utilize it well? I think
God of War used it. Actually, I can't remember if God of War used it. I prefer not to use it.
It might appeal to other people, but like gamers like us would be gaming with headsets.
Yeah, and to be honest, that's what I was going to say. You're wearing your headset, so like you don't even hear it half the time anyway. Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Now, the one thing I do like about the PlayStation, and I'll be honest, Mark, I actually don't care if this wastes its battery. I like that it changes colors depending on what the game tells it to do.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't care about it, but it's kind of cool.
You just complained about, or you just said the other one was like a gimmicky thing, and then the colors is like, ooh.
Yeah,
but
no,
they
the
could
color,
totally do that with the Jewel.
Yeah, but the visual, thing is visual gimmicks are more appealing than audio gimmicks.
Because gamers like RGB. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. You don't realize that you do until you get like RGB.
Yeah, and then you're like, all right.
And like
yeah.
a computer that glows
you're like, okay.
behind the screen, and you're like, oh, okay, this is actually pretty fun.
Yeah. Or the lights where like behind your TV and where you move, it changes behind your TV.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. The gaming light. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So just to be clear, we don't think. For sure that there is a mic in this. That would be terrible.
No, there's not a mic in it. Yeah.
No mic in this. No, sorry. Speakers. Speakers. Yeah, I misunderstood what we were talking about.
Yeah, you don't want to yell into your controller.
I misspoke. Them.
Yeah, because that would be terrible.
Hey!
Yeah.
Hey!
Oh,
hey,
you guys. Hear? You know how you...
Over here!
When you're playing StarCraft or any other games and yet somebody has a mechanical keyboard.
Yeah, that's all you hear.
Like, clickety, clickety,
but
clack.
This is... It does say, where is it? Quieter buttons.
Quieter buttons?
Yeah, which...
Quieter buttons, easier to repair and take apart.
Yeah, quieter buttons and thumbsticks.
Silence. Silence.
It's a nice controller. I am more excited for the controller than I am the refresh of the Xbox, although, I mean, that is cool, too.
It's a much-needed update.
Yeah.
This is where competition benefits us. PlayStation was forced to make a better controller. They did. Now Xbox... is forced to make a better controller. It looks like they're going to.
So I want to pay attention to where it says direct to cloud, and it's under the play anywhere.
Yep.
Does that mean that it doesn't even need to connect to your phone? It's using or whatever device you're using for cloud. It's using the internet connection to directly connect. So it's bypassing any lag. Is that the technology that I'm understanding? Is that, I'm assuming that's what that means, because it's you're directly connecting the controller to the cloud device, which would remove lag, which is actually a cool idea if that's indeed what they're doing. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, 1 second. I'm looking it up, yeah.
That fascinates me. That's a really good way to reduce lag, is to have the controller itself link directly and bypass any... I mean, maybe...
Isn't it the cloud that's causing the latency, though?
Well, if...
Because you're going to it and then back.
Let's say, for example, your controller has to connect to your phone or mobile device or whatever it is, and then that is that's the input to the phone.
The phone is...
If you have a slow phone, that would cause delay. Yeah,
Here we go, baby. This is from The Verge. The reason Sybil is such a big deal is Microsoft is internally positioning it as the first universal wireless controller theoretically capable of controlling Xbox across console, mobile, PC,
and cloud. The controller can do that because it connects directly to the cloud. Documents show, in addition to Bluetooth and Xbox Wireless, Google Stadia pioneered this direct to cloud by connecting the controller directly to your home Wi-Fi and let it seamlessly between playing a game on my PC, TV, and phone.
That's awesome. So there is, so now you don't have that middle device that's could potentially be slowing down the input if it's a direct
connect. Well, and you don't technically, the way it sounds, is you don't have to sync it every time you go to a different device. So let's say I'm playing on my...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that's been the biggest barrier for me for playing cloud, you know, cloud games is...
The hassle.
The delay.
Well, I don't know if this will fix the delay, though.
It has to help. It has to help.
Well, it can't make it worse.
Maybe the devices I've been playing on have had, it's just been slow because of the device, not necessarily the technology. Because I input to the device and then the device sends my input out to there. You're removing that sequence and it's directly connecting. This may, Jordan, this may solve.
Yeah.
I might be able to play Forza on the cloud. I want that. If you can play a racing game on the cloud, the lag is no longer an issue.
Yeah.
Because that and maybe a fighting game, I think those are the shooters.
I played Gears on the cloud and it was like there was a significant delay.
You had a device that connected directly to the cloud?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, if this will help that or not. Because
I'm saying it does.
It sounds like the way they're advertising it is it seamlessly jumps between your devices because it's connected to the cloud.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay.
So, like, if I'm playing on my...
It connects directly to your Wi-Fi so it can connect to your TV.
Yeah, so if I'm playing... Yeah, exactly.
Well, that...
Which is also on your Wi-Fi.
I've played on my... I've streamed on my... Or whatever. I've done it on my laptop, and then I've wanted to do it on my phone, and it was a big hassle to reconnect the controller.
No, yeah, yeah.
So I guess it could be that, which it is that, but I think it would be nice to... In my dreams, that it was reducing lag.
It would fix lag on cloud gaming.
I guess it would be latency.
Is that correct? Well, and it's just because you're going to something, in some cases, thousands of miles away, right?
Yeah. Which is that's crazy to me.
No, it's crazy cool how it works, but it's not as good as like playing on your local machine. At least
was because of this technology. No,
that's what I'm saying. If it was, that's cool. Oh. But last time I played cloud, there was some lag. I mean, this was a while ago, so maybe I should retry. But
Jordan played a game that he thinks is game of the year this year. But before we get to that, let's take a commercial break and advertise our members shows that exist. That's right. We have a members lounge that exists for everybody who supports the show and is a member over here on YouTube. Today's member lounge is going to be a doozy. We're going to debate what most, now that Call of Duty Activision is here, is there any, does anyone take over Halo or Gears of War as the marquee symbol of Xbox?
Of Xbox?
It's going to be heated. Like, it's in our members lounge only. Save your opinion. Yeah. See, Jordan's already getting fired up here. You got to save your opinion. But also, we do a Let's Play series over with Baldur's Gate 3 over for our members. We just dropped... What episode is this? We just dropped episode... I don't even know what episode this is. Four.
You just dropped four.
We just dropped episode four, titled Baldur's Gate 3, Witches, Deaths, and Birthday Suits. Oh my. And it's fantastic.
Mm.
It's hilarious.
There's some pretty funny stuff.
If you'd like to watch it, just become a member. YouTube.com/X1Bros. Hit the join button. You become a member and gain access to that. And huge shout out and thank you to everybody here in chat. You get a loyalty badge as well. Thank you for all of your support, guys. We appreciate it. Also, if you haven't yet, make sure you head over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to us. Rate, review, and subscribe to us. It very much helps. Follow us here on YouTube as well. Follow Mr. McSpicy's Know Your Game. He just did one on, what was the game you did? Armored Core.
Armored Core 6, which is actually interesting. We've been talking about, like, IPs, you know, how many Activision, how much they have and everything. You know who has a lot?
From software?
Bandai Namco.
Oh, Bandai Namco, yeah.
Holy crap. The list of IPs and licenses they have, I don't know what they don't have. Going over that list, learning about them, really interesting.
And about the merger of Bandai Namco.
The Bandai and Namco, and was it 2006, became Bandai Namco.
Also, I have a channel, X1 The Gamer. Come 5 days a week. I have 2 weeks in a row now of 5 days a week because I set that goal. And I have made it.
Your latest is on exclusives.
My latest is on exclusives, yeah. Why exclusives are good for gaming. So go,
you
come.
Troll.
Yeah, come.
He's got good points. But your titles, man. You're asking for it.
What is my title on that one? I don't even know what my title is. But
Unpopular opinion or something. Unpopular opinion.
It's trolley.
Exclusives are badass.
Exclusives are badass, and if you disagree with me, you're an idiot.
You're asking. I haven't looked at the comments because I saw it minutes after you posted it. But I can just imagine you're going to have some opposition in that one.
Well, you do make good points.
Unpopular opinion, that's the title. Why exclusives make gaming epic? The console war truth.
That's such a David title. Oh my gosh.
It's like a Fahrenheit 9/11.
Well, I did something different here.
It should have been you holding the
document. I did a point. I had up a Google Doc, and I like typed out points as I went over my points because I was like, how do we make this visual? Like, do I just go to gameplay? And I was like, no, I'll just type out my points.
No, but and your points, you make good arguments. Well,
I think so. I mean, I'm half convinced.
That. It's just you're talking to a group of individuals who for their entire existence has hated exclusivity.
Unless you're on the team of the winner.
Well, even then, I guess. Unless, but
depending on who's winning at the moment.
If you're on PlayStation, depending on who's winning at the moment. I can't play Halo. I can't become a fan of Halo, you know.
Yeah.
And so this whole mindset of exclusivity has always been on the side of...
Except Nintendo. You know what I mean? Okay. That's what I'm saying.
No one cares.
When people complain about Nintendo, they don't make eye contact and leave the room. They just don't address it. They just don't care. So you're speaking to a wall, so no one complains.
Joshua Adams is here in the house. He says, first time joining live in a while. What's up, guys? Welcome, Joshua Adams. Thank you for being here. So, Jordan, I saw Jordan in the middle of the week. I was like, Jordan, what are you doing? What game are you playing? And then I watched him play it for a little bit. And you think it's your current game of the year, even over Starfield.
Yeah. Well,
Baldur's Gate, Final Fantasy 16, and over Tears of the Kingdom.
I don't think Starfield is the game of the generation.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I've played a lot now, and I have thoughts on it, too.
Like, I think it's a good game. I think a good Bethesda experience, sure. Right? Like, I think it's Bethesda's best game since Skyrim.
I think Skyrim is better.
I do think Skyrim is the better game.
I agree with Jordan.
Even can DLC, because we're getting DLC, can DLC change that?
Oh, yeah. Look what Heart of the Swarm or Brood War did.
I mean,
yeah, of course it can.
Really?
Liberty that's changing the perspective of Cyberpunk right now.
I'm not saying it's not a good game, but I think it's a fantastic game.
Yeah, I do too.
I just think...
But Skyrim eats it out for
things,
you.
There's two things that Skyrim... the Skyrim and Starfield. Like, why I push it to Skyrim. The fantasy setting.
Sure.
I think I... Yeah, in
that's
that,
a style. That's a style preference. That's hard to beat, too.
Yeah, a fantasy setting in an RPG is just... maximum value.
Yeah, it's hard to beat.
And I feel like the class system in Skyrim was more... It felt like you were going down... You're playing a role-playing game, and you can go down very specific characters.
Sure.
Because of weapons in Starfield and how their class system works, I feel like you're kind of a jack-of-all-trades.
Yeah, I've not really, and they kind of force you into that too because you want to unlock certain abilities.
Yeah,
there's there's nothing you really specialize in, especially your first playthrough.
There's nothing like it's not like as folk in Skyrim. You could be a mage.
Oh,
thief with a bow, and you could build your character. You could be a frontline. You could be which you can in Starfield. But not to the extent of Skyrim, and I like that aspect more in a RPG like that. So, but that said, I think Starfield is a very fun game.
I'm not yet
I'm not yet finished. My goal was to finish, and I didn't get to. But I'm pretty. I passed all the lore drop sections.
Yes,
and then it bit me in the butt that I did no side quests. So I've been off on side quests because I have to, because I had $0. And there's stuff you have to do that costs money. Yeah. And then I need upgraded ships.
I did show David a unconventional way of making money that he has not used.
The unconventional
prostitution?
Out of ethics.
Do you sell your body?
I legitimately have not done it because I'm like, Jordan, I don't want to glitch. I'm not glitching.
Oh, it's a glitch?
Well, I mean, the only thing you hurt
is yourself, Jordan.
Well, no, it's not a glitch. I don't know if you can call it a glitch when it's literally how Bethesda designs their games, and you can do it in every single game they design.
Yeah, you find the merchant's chest.
Wait, what's... Okay, how do you...
So
while Jordan explains this, I'm going to go get another Dr.
It is a glitch, right?
Number three?
Oh, man. Hey, give me a cactus...
It is a glitch.
Give me,
did you just say it is a
give
glitch?
Give me a cactus cooler. It can be classified as a glitch.
I'm good.
No, I'm just going to say this because I don't want people to think poorly of me.
Well, I am already losing. You're losing clout with me right now.
And you know what? I made a lot of money, all right? All right? That's how the world works. I did not do this my first playthrough. This is all in the NG Plus stuff. Because, you know, now it's time to have fun. Time to kick back. I don't care who gets hurt and who, you know, in the universe. You know? Okay. I don't care, you know. But anyway, Bethesda... Basically, so what they do is when there's a merchant, they have to put all of their inventory somewhere, right? And I believe you were able to do this. Yeah, because you were able to do this in their other games. Anyway, if you find that chest, you can just take it and then wait the amount of time for it to reset and take it again. Okay.
So you go and sit down for 48 hours.
So there's a very popular...
steal it, and then sit down for 48 hours and steal it.
So Jordan basically goes to the Lamborghini dealership in Starfield.
Yeah.
Essentially. It's like the top tier.
And I said
top tier.
I said, David, you see that wall over there? It's not really there, if you know what I mean.
You could go through it. And so then he showed me. But my jetpack was too powerful.
Your jetpack sucked.
It was too powerful.
It was like, whoa, geez.
It's too powerful.
I can show you it, Mark. You don't have to use it, but I can show it to you.
160,000 credits in one take.
It's actually awesome.
Nah, I don't care for this.
But yeah, it's so David's playing. I played ethically on my first playthrough.
Yeah. Oh, on my second playthrough, I'll probably cheese it.
Like, why?
You are so noble.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you guys.
See, Super Shark's talking about the puddle. There's two puddles. Well, there's one puddle. Well, puddle on a trash bag.
Okay.
Yeah, Kilo City, those ones are funny. Well, and what gets me...
There's ammo in the puddle one that I need.
Well, it depends on what, because there's three in a kilo that you can do.
Oh, I only know two of them.
You can do the bar, which is really good because those drinks, they give you like plus 120 defense for 30 minutes. Like, it's like...
Oh, wow.
Now you're like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I have never... Even on my NG Plus, I have never had money issues, so...
Neither have I.
Here's the thing, though. You all did side quests. You all did side quests. This is literally my first side quest. I did the Marshall. What is it called? I'm not saying it right.
Well, here's the thing.
But I did the Marshalls.
There's an achievement to obtain 10 ships. I'm not gonna earn that money legitimately.
I don't get my achievements legitimately.
And you guys can't complain, because if you 100%ed Qbot, then you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even have to look at the screen 100% Qbot. Well,
okay, but that is...
I'm not playing that game for enjoyment. Playing that game for the score.
What if I told you I was only playing Starfield for the
then
score?
Then I respect you.
For the achievements.
I respect you. Yep, I respect you hard. Here's the thing, though. So I'm not yet finished through it, and where I'm at still... See, I think a lot of it is stylistic. I think I prefer space right now. I am, and even with the loading screens, I do wish there was less of that, but I don't notice it. Because when I want to be in space, I'm in space. I go to space. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, but I'm enjoying it. I do like how they did what I think it is. I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
but
I think
NG Plus is.
I think
I'm
it's
like,
a clever.
Okay, I see what they're doing.
It's a clever way of incorporating. Lore. They just allow you to play the game more. You know, it's just a clever way of doing it, right?
I just wish...
Beats the Fallout 3 ending.
I just have, yeah, I wish they didn't do one thing. And if they didn't do one thing with the NG Plus.
Having said that, I don't know that I will do NG Plus when I get to the end. I think I'll just stay in my world.
I think so.
There's only.
Is there any, like, if a DLC was dropping, if a DLC drops that rewards that NG Plus, then maybe I would.
Well, there's only two reasons to do an NG Plus. And if you don't want to know those two reasons, because
I can't know.
I mean, it doesn't spoil the story.
I don't talk about it.
But, you know. There's only two reasons to do it.
Like I said, just save right before, do it so you can see what happens, and then then you can go back.
But I do like the world building here. But also,
you know what's fun? Sorry to interrupt you, David.
Yeah, go ahead.
Shipbuilding is extremely fun.
Yeah, way fun.
I do like that a lot.
Shipbuilding is superior to player housing in Skyrim. There's no equivalent in Skyrim to shipbuilding.
Well, they came out with the heart. Well, it's because it didn't have it.
No, yeah, but what
are we
going
to put like a saddle on the horse?
No, but what I'm saying is there's no equivalent, like there was nothing that you built up, because there's player housing in this game too in the same way, but there's shipbuilding. Well, it's like this extra thing that you can customize.
Well, that's why it's interesting. You can see, like, if you've played Bethesda games, you can see all the stuff coming together. Because in Skyrim, I believe there was an update called Hearth and Home, which was a kinder
housing.
Yeah. And then if you notice their next game, which I believe was Fallout 4, it was like a whole base building thing, right? So I mean, you can see them expanding their ideas into each game.
Don't you get base building with outposts here?
Yeah.
You do. Skyrim didn't have anything like
that.
I think
Skyrim didn't have anything like that. Fallout 4 had base building.
Here's the thing. Once I got to the base building part, I did not complete the rest of the game. I stopped there. Because I just focused. I put in like 4 or 5 hours into base building, and then I never...
In Fallout 4?
In Fallout 4.
It's because you had the dumb Minuteman coming every 30 minutes.
And so I just...
He's like, hey, guess what? We need some help.
I just...
Like, shut up!
Guys, help yourselves. What kind of organization are you?
Yeah.
You're not really a Minuteman.
Dude, I know. Just go. Although, I did. One of my favorite things about Fallout 4 was you could change their clothes. It's probably because of me that... When you take off suits and stuff, like outfits, they still retain on the people when they're dead and stuff. Because what I would do is in my little area, I would have the turrets facing inwards, and I would give them all the choker outfits, you know, or whatever, the thong, the banana thong and like the choker outfits. And I would put everybody to work, and it looked like I was a very terrible person because they're wearing all these like banana thongs, bikinis, and all the turrets are inward and they're just sitting there farming.
One thing you can see, like you said there, it is an evolution too. Cause one
prison.
One thing is I like what people are collecting. So some people like use the famous example is the sandwiches that lady collected on the preview of Starfield. But our friend Barbara Blake is collecting stuffed animals, and he was telling me about it. And I was like, oh, I always just ignore those because I'm like, what do I want that for? But now I want them. I want to have all the stuffed animals that there is. What I do collect, though, I collect the toys. I have been specifically collecting them.
That's cool. Well, they have even like...
Well, because like when you build an outpost or a ship, you can place them on your desk or your door, or whatever you're building. You know, not... But you know what I mean, so...
Well, that's why I like Bethesda games. Yeah. Because you can do...
Have you guys seen the potato like stuff people have been doing online?
Is this like some real weird kink that you have?
Yeah, it's actually really cool. So...
Yeah,
the physics.
It's actually really cool.
Yeah. The physics in the game are cool. So on the PC, because you have access to the console.
Yeah.
People go in and go console, and they type in the code like times 10,000 potatoes, and then you open the door. I saw one guy. He opened the door to Constellation, and they all just came rushing. It's cool.
I've seen the ones where they like float in space, and then you use your jetpack. This was with milk, and you like slam it, and they just poof.
Yeah, the physics is actually really interesting. Yeah.
I've seen that. I've seen one with butter. They have a whole bunch of butter cubes on a crater, and they throw grenades in there, and it just goes.
So, Jordan's get his game of the year as of right
now.
What is it, Jordan? Give it to me.
Sea of Stars.
Sea of Stars. A lot of people have been talking about it. It's a lot of people's game of the year list.
I never played Golden Sun or
Chrono Trigger.
His name.
Chrono.
It's Chrono.
Chrono Trigger.
I've never played those two. I actually never played, I never got to play like Mario RPG and stuff. And this game, from what I understand, is inspired by a lot of that. And it is really one of the best games. The story is super interesting so far. The turn-based combat, you can do things during the turn-based combat to make your attacks and defense better, which makes it more active and not just sitting there during turn-based, or you can just choose to do turn-based.
For instance, but like, if you time pressing a button at a certain
time. Yeah, if it, like, for example, if you time pressing a button at a certain time during an attack that you pick, you'll do extra damage. If you time blocking, you'll have defense. And they kind of just layer these mechanics on top of each other, and it's the way they tell the story, the art style, the combat, it's very well done. Like, there's no voice acting, but these characters have personality. How do you do that?
Yeah, it's just...
You know what I mean? Like, it's feel on a lot like of people's... Yeah, it's very well done. I downloaded
it a few weeks ago because it is on Game Pass, everybody, and so if you'd like to check it out, it's on Game Pass. Download it.
I told Mark that the music is fantastic. It's like... I mean, I'm sure they're using... It's not like the 16-bit music, like from the SNES... But it's you can tell it's very heavily inspired by that, and it's got that feel like it's very well done.
I wonder who did the music. I'll look
it's
that up.
Very well done. So I've been enjoying it.
What's so crazy to me, Jordan, is in the year that we've had, in the games that we've had this year, this is the one that you're thinking.
Yeah,
is
look,
game
you're talking.
Of
look,
year?
Yeah,
Jordan
Hogwarts,
is not the only
had,
one saying
yeah, Hogwarts
this
Legacy.
I've seen lots of people talking.
You
about
had
this.
We had Jedi. We had
Tears of the Kingdom.
Hi-Fi Rush.
We had Hi-Fi Rush. We had Starfield. You know,
Forza
I know. Motorsport's I know a lot of,
about to drop
Final Fantasy 16.
Final Fantasy 16, which I'm all yeah, which is also very good. But I'm telling you guys, play this game. It is very well done.
Yeah, I was watching Jordan play it. It's super cool. What I like about it is when you go, because I love turn-based RPGs and turn-based strategies. When you, so for instance, like in Pokemon, you come across a bad guy that you now have to fight, right? You go into a fight screen. Wargroove does this, right? You go into a fight screen. In this, you never leave the map, and I love that.
Yeah,
I love
your
that
characters
it keeps,
jump back, and they
I love that
to
it
fight.
Keeps you there. I think that's so much smarter because it feels less tedious. It feels more real doing it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, it's.
How long of a game is this? Do you know? Let me type that in.
I don't know. They have. I mean, there's quite a bit to do in it. You know, there's lots of like collection aspects. There's. I mean, I don't. I'm not done.
25
with it.
To 30 hours.
I mean, I'm still playing through it. I would say I'm still pretty early, but I mean, we'll see as I finish all these other games and as more games come out. I mean, we do still have Phantom Liberty in just a little while. Oh, see, and that's another thing about the combat. If you're watching the screen right now, the she's not an enemy, but the person they're fighting had icons pop above their head. And what that means is she's about to do a big power, and you have to do those specific attacks of those icons, like slash damage or blunt damage, in this case, because it's very early on, to counter it. Or else she'll do like a power attack, which will just dominate you. You know what I mean? And then you, of course, have your own ultimate attacks that you can use, which are also interactive as well. Like she just did the moonerang, and you have to kind of hit that. You can throw it, and that's great. But if you keep tapping A, you'll reflect it, and you'll hit more enemies. So it's like an AOE thing. It's and the way they do it, because you start out with two characters, and then you meet different party members later on. But the two characters are unique. And they both bring something to the battle. One is focused on sword. The other is a little bit more magical. It's, I'm telling you, man, it's a very well done game. And for me right now, it's game of the year.
Yeah, it's a lot of people's game of the year. Spicy, what are you looking at?
It's fascinating. I'm probably going to do this on Know Your Game.
Yeah.
So I thought this was like an indie style. I mean, it is an indie style, but... You have some big, like the composer is the same one that did the music to Chrono Trigger and a whole bunch of other games. Wow. Like you have some big players in the development of this game.
Well,
so
a lot of, yeah.
I'm just going down the rabbit hole of just learning about the game. I am going to do this as one of my videos.
Let me show you a song afterwards.
Oh, will you?
During the
put it on your phone and then we'll both have a headphone.
Yeah, during
piece.
Or during the members show. Because it's the first song that I heard in the game, and I'm like, wow, this is. I kind of just roamed around town so I can listen to it more.
So I'm surprised because it looks like an indie.
Well, and this is what I'm saying. Like these characters, like this is no voice acting, right? Like this is it's inspired by the old style of gaming. Especially the main characters that you're with, they have personality. And what's interesting is how do you do that Like, I mean, maybe I'm, maybe, you know, for me, I'm loving the game. I think it's very well done. This developer, from what I've looked into, has done another game called The Messenger, which I've heard is very good as well. Mm. So, but this game,
there you go.
It's on Game Pass.
They're a self-publisher too, which gives them a lot of freedom.
Yeah, yes. I think they're from Canada.
Canada.
Sea of Stars, everybody, go check it out. Game Pass. And that will. I'm waiting for. We're 2 weeks away from Forza Motorsport.
And we're also not too far away from Phantom Liberty.
Also, Payday 3 has just come out.
So, wait, did it just come out? I thought it was.
No, it came out on the 21st. So yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. And then, we need to play that.
People that pay pre-purchased or whatever, they could play it a day early.
So that should be one of our Let's Plays together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm probably going to play it tonight.
Payday 3. Well, sure. So I've been watching some gameplay. It totally gives me like Hitman vibes.
Ooh.
Because you can scope things. I'm so excited to play that game.
I'm going to play it tonight.
Phantom Liberty, though, as well.
Did you pre-buy it?
I'm going to.
Oh, well, that's fair. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Phantom Liberty, by the way, all the things I'm seeing on it, like, people love it.
Yeah. You know, it's actually like, if you list the games that have come out this year...
It's a crazy year.
Yeah. We're the dawn of the golden age of gaming, everybody.
Even if you take the games that, like...
I would say the golden age was the 90s.
Even if you take the games that, like I guess, IMHL. You know... like take a game like Diablo 4, where, you know, some people liked it, some people got bored of it fast, and it's been in the news cycle a lot. Still a fun game for what it is, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, a lot of that... Well, let's take Starfield. I see a lot of people hate the game. And it's fascinating to me. And
a lot of that's fake, though, because when I complete a mission and the achievement pops up and it says 3% people have completed this, I'm like, well, where's all this hate coming from then?
Well, no, see, that what's fascinating to me is the people that are hating it are the people that don't... They're influencers influencing a lot of people that don't have Xboxes, and so they're just hyping... They're jumping on the hype train.
Well,
and I feel like I'm part of this, like... exclusive group that for some reason or another loves that game. And does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like I'm a part of the secret that the game is good, but no one knows that it's good because they are told that it's bad from influencers.
No, there's just a lot of fake reviews out there. For instance, someone commenting on my tweet that I had this week on it.
It's fascinating. Cause I'm like, If you only knew what you're missing, you wouldn't be hating this so much. It blows my mind. The power that influencers have on opinions for people that have not played the game.
Yeah, here was my tweet. I said, you don't like Starfield because it's an Xbox exclusive? What's next? You're going to hate pizza because it's not a sandwich? Don't miss the rock.
Oh, man. David's tooting his own tweet.
Let me quote it. Quoted myself. Don't miss the rocket to gaming goodness because you're stuck at the petty bus stop, people. And PG Quips, shout out to PG Quips, responded and said, my favorite fake common complaint so far is the I'm a huge Bethesda fan and this is their worst game ever. Yeah. And there's a lot of that. There was David Jaff? I never can say his last name, but he's the old director to like the OG God of Wars. Uh-huh. And he's very vocal about how much he likes Starfield and how good of a game it is. And he's interviewing someone on his podcast and the person's like, yeah, I just don't like it. I just feel that it's blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, what about, he's like, I just feel like the beginning's really slow. And he's like, well, what about the beginning's really slow? And he's like, well, you know, it just takes forever to get going. He's like, well, what about when they burn all the bodies? He's like, yeah, like that part. And he's like, that wasn't in the game, dude.
He said, you've never played the game, have you?
That's awesome.
It was like a caller that called into his.
It's so, and but it's fascinating.
And you're seeing it, like, for instance, like, it's just so buggy. Is it?
I mean, I've encountered bugs.
Is it? I love like, those bugs.
But it's not.
I love Bethesda games, but it's just so buggy. Have you played a Bethesda game then? Because this is the least buggy Bethesda game
ever. It really is. Ever. Bethesda games are buggy. But they're like, it's like, I don't know. It's endearing. The bugs have like this flair. They're very specific bugs that only Bethesda can produce. And it's always like, oh yeah, I've missed this engine. I remember you.
Oh yeah, like I shot this guy. I like took over a ship, shot the ship, and his body is just continually going boop, 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 like bouncing around.
It's gravity.
But I really feel like I'm part of this like secret that Starfield is actually very good.
Oh, it's so good. I really enjoy it. Really.
And no one else, like, no.
Well, meanwhile, it's smashing records everywhere. I think it's just vocal people on social media.
Yeah, no, I really do. I think it's their best game since Skyrim. And the only reason I like Skyrim more is just very specific things to Skyrim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for hanging out this week again. Join us on the Members Lounge. We're going to get into a fiery debate on how Master Chief or Gears is not going to be the main Xbox.
You're wrong and stupid.
Piece anymore. Jordan's raging already.
Well,
he's getting ready to throw something.
Yeah, I mean, look what Microsoft has done to Master Chief.
Yeah.
Many aspects have ruined that. There are several variables.
And ultimately, it's Microsoft.
See you guys later. Bye-bye.